All right, so last week, we had the chance to hear from Reverend Lee, and I really appreciated that he preached on the sea or the storm at sea during Jesus' ministry. Because if you remember, 2 weeks before that, I was preaching on Jonah 2, or 3 weeks before that, I was preaching on Jonah 1, where Jonah also runs into a storm at the sea. And it's just a reminder that God is with us through all the storms in our life. But today we'll continue in the book of Jonah. We'll be looking at chapter 3. And so before we begin, I just want to share with you something that I thought of as I was preparing this message. So I've probably shared this before. But one of my favorite movies is Remember the Titans. It's this movie and about a high school football team. And the reason that I love this movie is because it's all about giving people chances. Right, so it's about a high school football team in the USA in the 1970s that segregation has ended. So now all the black students and all the white students are going to go to the same school together. And so you have these white and black football players that are expected to play together on the same team, but because they had spent so many years hating the other side, they obviously don't get along as a team. The white people are looked down on the black people, and the black people like hate the white people because they feel like they're being oppressed. And so at one point in the movie, I think it's their first game against their opponent. And one of the white players who's supposed to be protecting the quarterback, he lets the opponent through, and then the quarterback gets hit. And not only does the quarterback get hit, he gets injured. So if you know anything about football, the quarterback is like one of the most important players. So this guy, he allows his quarterback to get hurt because the quarterback was black. And so one of his white teammates sees what he did, and he goes and he talks to his teammate, and he says, "Hey, why did you miss that block? Why did you let the opponent through purposely?" And the guy's like, he's like, "I don't want to play with these guys." He's like, "The more of them that are hurt, the better, so I don't have to play with them." And his friend, he was like, "I can't accept that. Like, that's not okay. We're a team." And so he gives his friend and his teammate a chance to repent. He gives him a chance to change his ways, to change his way of thinking. But that teammate, he says, "No, I'd rather quit the team than play with people that I hate." And that reminds me of actually what's happening in Jonah. All right, you have this prophet who is called by God. God gives him a chance to go to this group of people that don't know God. And this is a very noble task for prophets, deliver the word of God and bring people into God's family. That's like the most noble thing that they can do. But we saw what Jonah did, right? We saw that even though Jonah was given this chance, he runs away. He refuses, right? He's very much like that one white football player who is like, I hate these people so much, I refuse to have anything to do with them." But then, after Jonah gets thrown overboard, he thinks he's gonna die, but he gets swallowed by a fish. And so he realizes that he's been given another chance. And so when he's inside that fish, he has this kind of change of heart, where he then says, "Okay, God, I'm gonna do what you want me to do." And so today we'll pick up in chapter 3, where Jonah is now back on the land and he's given a second chance. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them up to chapter 3, and we'll read from verses 1 to 10. All right, Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. You know, when we first started this series on Jonah, I wanted to cast Jonah in a different light. And that was, you know, instead of the runaway prophet, I wanted us to see Jonah as a missionary. And this chapter describes his missionary effort. And it starts very similar to the way that chapter 1 started, right? If you flip back and forth between chapter 1 and chapter 3, you'll see that they start with very similar words. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And, you know, instead of reading Jonah, son of Amittai, which is what it reads in chapter 1, here in chapter 3, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. This is Jonah's second chance, right? He's told to go to Nineveh for the second time and to proclaim to it the message that God is giving him. Now, the wording here is also slightly different from chapter 1. What God is saying here, he's saying, Jonah, I want you to give the message that I'm giving, right? Don't try to change the message. He's like, you already know what's going to happen if you try to disobey me. So God is warning Jonah here, and he's saying, you know, go and proclaim the message I give you. Do what I tell you to do. And so Jonah obeys. He goes to Nineveh. And this is all it takes for God to give the people of Nineveh a chance. You see, God wants to give them a chance. And we're told that Nineveh is an important city. But we have to ask the question, why is it important? Who is it important to? You know, was the city of Nineveh important to the geographical area of the time? Was it important for the people that would be trading along that route? I'm going to say that it's important to God. You know, God is constantly working through this book. And so when it says that Nineveh is an important city, it's an important city to God. And the importance lies in how the people live, right? The message that God is going to give to the city of Nineveh is that they need to repent of what they've been doing. And if you remember, the Ninevites, they were known for their brutality towards people. They were known for their ruthlessness, for impaling people on stakes. And so the city is important to God because if this city comes to know God, if they start to live at peace with their neighbors, if they start treating people compassionately, can you imagine the impact that that would make? The surrounding cities around them would be like, hey, what's going on with the city? Like, why have they changed so much? And the answer would be God. And that would be a tremendous witness. So this city is important for God because if they were to be changed, if they were to come to know God, it would be an amazing witness. But even more than that, the impact that it would have on the people of Israel, on God's people, right? Israel, they're not the most perfect people. They tend to be a very self-centered group of people. They tend to think that, oh, God is for me. And now, if they see that God will save this foreign city, this brutal people, it would show them that God is a God of grace and mercy, that God is truly compassionate, that God loves all the nations. So this is why the city of Nineveh is an important city. So Jonah, he goes into the city, and I love this because Jonah preaches one of the shortest evangelical messages ever recorded. Right? It's 8 words in the English, it's 5 words in its original language in the Hebrew. It's the shortest evangelical message ever. And as someone who doesn't like to speak a lot or is not too wordy, I love this part. So this is Jonah's message. He says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And that's all it took. I appreciate preachers that do have a lot to say, and I've certainly learned a lot. But then there are also some sermons and some preachers that I've heard where it seems like they just go on and on and on, and you're like, when will this be over? But no, Jonah here, he's like, here's the message. 40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And that's all it took for the people to start changing. So even though the message was a short message, it was a very powerful message, right? In the very next verse, we read that the Ninevites believed God. So they declare a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Right? After only the first day, earlier it said that the city needed 3 days to go through it, but after the first day, the message actually spread faster than Jonah could even move. So this is not the work of Jonah that saves the city. Like, it makes it very clear that it's not Jonah who's the one responsible for this conversion. This is God. This is God's work. And you see how immediate the Ninevites' response is, right? Jonah's message said 40 more days, right? They could have spent the next 39 days just doing whatever they wanted, right? As long as they knew, they're like, okay, on the 40th day, as long as we change on the 40th day, we'll be good, right? That's what the warning says. And I know that, if some of you had that warning, that's probably what you would do. You would wait until the very last minute before you would change. But the Ninevites, they don't do that. They immediately take action on the first day. And so the two things that they do is they fast and they put on what's known as sackcloth. And what these two acts represent are mourning. They represent a sadness and a grieving over certain actions or behaviors. And this is a sign of repentance. They are saying, we were wrong. Like, what we were doing was not right. And so we're going to stop that. And all of them, the whole city was doing this. It wasn't just like a certain group of people. It wasn't like just the more humble people, but it was everybody from the least to the greatest. And this and these actions, they actually make their way to the king. The king didn't really respond right away, but when he sees what the people are doing, he's like, wow, okay, I need to join in with this. And so we see this transformation even in the king. And so the king, he issues this proclamation that calls all people and even the animals to fast. Says no food, no drink. Now this might be a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't think the king is telling his people that they can't eat or drink for the 40 days. But what this decree is showing is that he wants them to actually fast with no food and no drink for a short period of time. Like he does want them to experience the intensity of having to fast without food and drink. So they wouldn't do this for the 40 days, but maybe he's having them do it for a day or two, right? And he's saying, this is how we're going to show our sincerity. This is how we're going to show that our repentance is genuine. And as exaggerated, as extreme as that might seem, that's not what should surprise us. What should surprise us is what comes next in verse 9. As part of the decree, the king asks this question: who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. I mean, this is an absolute, like, shock. Right? These are the Ninevites who have never heard of God before, who were people that were the least compassionate people like on the planet at the time. And here they're realizing there's a God of compassion. And this God might actually relent of his anger and he will not smite us. If you read through the Old Testament, as Andrew's family have been doing, this is that God's attribute of compassion is not one of God's like advertised attributes. God's power is something that is very advertised. Nations tremble in fear because they hear of God's power. But they don't hear of God's compassion. But here, the Ninevites realize God has compassion. And so they ask this question: who knows? Who knows? They knew that there was a chance, as small as that chance may have been, they knew there was a chance they could be spared. And so they wasted no time in their repentance. And we know that their repentance was genuine because verse 10 tells us that God sees what they did and he relents. You see, they could have fooled Jonah. They could have even possibly fooled one another, thinking, we just have to act like we've repented. But there's no fooling God, right? But it's God who sees and it's God who judges that they are truly repentant, that they've turned from their evil ways. And so he has compassion on them. See, God gave them a chance. And the Ninevites, they didn't take that for granted. They took hold of that chance. They took full advantage of that opportunity. And they acted accordingly. And they were spared. And so this passage, it teaches us two things, and these are the two things I want to leave you with. And the first thing is that as the church, as witnesses for Jesus Christ, even as missionaries, this is what we are called to do. We are called to give people a chance. Right? And we do this by sharing the gospel. This you know. I know that you've heard this before. But maybe this is something that you haven't heard, which is we need to share the gospel fully. You see, a lot of times when we share the gospel, we share the good news. We share the good news that they can be saved, that they can go to heaven, that there is hope and peace and comfort found in God. And all of that is true. But if you looked at Jonah's message here, he didn't preach that hope. He preached a message of repentance. And when we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel with our friends and our family, we need to make sure we include that message of repentance as well. Right? That people need to repent of their sinful behaviors. Right? That if they do not turn to God, what awaits them is suffering. What awaits them will be this overturning of their life. You see, there's only two final destinations, right? There's heaven and then there's hell. So if people do not repent, they're not going to get into heaven. And if they don't get into heaven, that just means they're going to hell. And we need to let people know that. We need to let them know that it's not simply, oh, you're not getting into heaven, you know, you just kind of live somewhere else. No, it's if they don't make it to heaven, then they're going to hell. And this is a message that people need to hear. And we need to give them a chance. And that's the first thing. We need to give people a chance. And the second one is we need to realize that God has given you a chance. God has given me a chance. You see, this message that Jonah preaches to the Ninevites, it's a message that he also needs to hear. You know, next week when we look at Jonah chapter 4, we'll see how Jonah responds to the message. But we need to respond to this message 40 more days. And Nineveh will be overturned. Right? We have areas of our lives that we need to repent from. Right? We have things in our life that we know aren't good. Right? They're not glorifying to God. They're sinful. But unlike what's happening here, is we don't know when the judgment is coming. You see, the advantage that the Ninevites had is they knew it was in 40 days. But for us, we don't know when our judgment is coming. Our judgment is going to come when Jesus comes back again. And he didn't give us a time frame. He could come back tomorrow for all we know. And when he comes back, this world as we know it is going to be overturned. And so how do you respond to that message? How are you going to respond when you don't even know how many more days it will be until this world is overturned? You know, will you immediately take action and repent? God is giving you a chance to turn from your evil ways. So don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until the end of the week. Don't wait until next year. But this is a call and a reminder and an exhortation for us to immediately repent and turn to God. And so I'm going to give us a few minutes now, just a few moments of silence for us to come before the Lord and to repent, to confess the sinful things in our life and ask and to cling on to that compassion and ask him for his forgiveness, for his strength to help us. So let's pray.
God, we asked this question. Who knows? And it's a rhetorical question because you know. God, you know what is true repentance, what is genuine repentance. And so, Father, Lord, for the sins of my life, Lord, I confess them to you and pray that you would give me the strength to continue turning away from them, to turn towards you, to put aside, or not even to put aside, but to throw away all the distractions. Anything that hinders, to just leave them behind. You know, yesterday in the baptism class, we looked at a verse in Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul writes that he considers everything garbage when compared to knowing Christ. And so, Father, Lord, may we put you where you rightfully belong, as the King and the Lord of our lives, as the person who is most important to us. And God, may we not take this opportunity for granted, because Jesus, we don't know when you're coming back again. We don't know how much time we have to keep living lives that are not pleasing to you. And so, Lord, would you just allow this message to take hold of our life? And then would you call us? And would you send us to others, to those in our lives, with the same message? This message of both repentance, but of hope as well, because you are a God who is compassionate. You are a God who will relent of his anger. And so, Lord, we thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.